All right. This morning we're going to be talking about Jehovah Rapha. There's different ways to pronounce it. There's different ways to spell it, actually, that you'll find. The key, though, of all of this is, Jehovah is the one who heals, is what we're going to be talking about. This morning, the Lord heals. So if you'd open up your Bibles to Exodus, the 15th chapter, is where we're going to begin. This is actually where the name comes from. Exodus 15. So I want you to imagine what this was like for them. Israel is coming out of Egypt. They cross over the Red Sea. You imagine how excited they are, and they begin to walk. And they're headed towards Mount Sinai, and they're obviously, we understand what's going to happen at Mount Sinai. But as they're walking in the wilderness, they begin to realize that there is no water. And we're told here in these verses that it was a test. So they're walking, and there's no water. And then they come up on water. Right, and you imagine the relief as they see this water. There's water here. And what's wrong with this water? It's bitter. Can't drink it. Okay. You imagine the despair that would come across or happen to these people. And by the way, I shouldn't say these people. What happened to us? This is the salvation. This is the water here. It's going to be able to help us. And we can't drink it. And they began to complain to who? Moses. Poor Moses. Verse 24 says, "So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. There he made for them a statute and regulations, and there he tested them. And he said, 'If you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer.'" So here's the question to begin with. What does Jehovah heal in these verses? What does he heal? All right. He healed the water. Their thirst. Okay. All right. Their faith, their trust. What else? What does he say? Brian? Yeah. So you have this, like getting like vaccines so you don't get sick from the things that they're going to talk about. He's this amazing healer that not only is he protecting them or healing the people that have diseases, have things we'll talk about as we go forward. He also, in this specific part from a physical perspective, says, "I will keep you from getting some of the diseases that the Egyptians got. If." And that's where this interesting conversation begins. Right, so you have this. This is the passage that he calls himself the healer. It's not just that he heals them physically, and certainly he does. He heals them emotionally. He heals them, as we're going to go on forward, spiritually. The understanding of just the total power that he has from a healing perspective, and the understanding that this one, as we go forward, and many of them do, overlap into some of the other ones that we'll talk about. But you certainly, as any of these ever looks like Jesus, when you think about this one, this to me is Jesus. This is him. He is the one that is the great healer as we go forward. And I only say that because of what he does when he's here. We're going to spend time in the Gospels talking about those things. So anybody else on this part in particular? Because this is important. It's not just that he heals them. It's not just that he gives them water. The understanding of verse 26, as John said, I think is extremely important. He is going to protect his people. And it's the same for you and I. You know, I was thinking about this as I was reading this. The idea, if you make application of verse 26 to us, yes, we're going to get sick. Yes, we're going to get things. You don't want to spend too much time thinking about it, but I wonder what he's kept us from getting as his people. There's a lot of interesting perspectives. We always focus on the things we've gone through, but it's amazing to think about what he protects us from, bigger picture. That's not going to end anywhere if you go down that road, but it's just interesting to think about how awesome he is from that perspective. So, anybody else on Exodus 15? It's very similar to John 9. John 9 is the one who heals the blind. That's why I remember that rhyme. But anyway, John the 9th chapter, he heals the blind man, which is an awesome story. What was the purpose for him healing the blind man, though? What happens at the end? The blind man's healed. It's an amazing, awesome story. You know why he does it? So the Pharisees could be told that they were blind spiritually. He uses that specific issue or opportunity to teach a bigger picture. And certainly he does that in various forms and various times that he's healing people, right? That's an excellent point. And even from their perspective, they saw what happened to the Egyptians. They saw what would happen if they go down this road. It's very similar. We can make applications to us. If we're talking about alcoholism, right? We've seen the results of what happens when you do that. And guess what? People still do. You've seen it. That doesn't mean our perspective or whatever. It doesn't have to be alcohol, anything, whatever it is. We know what happens down that road and still, for some reason, a lot of times, we want to continue or people want to try to go down that road. And that you understand the danger of it, right? Yeah, and that's the interesting part as we go forward. This idea, when you think of some of these verses, Psalm 103, verse 3, David talking here, he's talking about from the bigger picture of this idea of just praising God for his mercies is what my Bible calls the top of it here. But verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." Okay? You just understand the reality of who he is, his power, deeper, obviously, from the physical perspective. This is going to be by the way, quoted about somebody, believe it or not, named Jesus in Matthew 4:23, that's what he came and he did. And so the understanding ultimately as you go forward, what he's able to do, he actually can heal people, right? There's the understanding, just a physical, shallow, surface level understanding. The awesomeness of that part is amazing to me, okay? The interesting piece when you talk of Jesus healing people is beyond anything I can understand. I can read it. It's just so amazing to think about this man who had leprosy. He had to yell unclean from afar, and Jesus goes up and touches him. And the reality of what the people would have thought about that. Touched him. Don't touch him. Now you're supposed to talk. Don't even talk to him. And he touched him, and he heals him. And the change of that guy's life, or the people's life, that just with leprosy, or the people couldn't walk. I mean, just the change of their lives based on that, just the physical, is amazing to think about. Then you start layering all the other things, obviously getting down to the great spiritual perspective. It's just amazing to think about the power that he has. Sean? Yeah, and the priest. I love that he sends them to the priest after the priest just healed him. Right. So. Yeah, one of the most amazing things, and I was going to bring that up a little later, but the idea that it's just his compassion and concern for this widow, this what she was going to have to go through, and how he changes her life from that perspective is truly amazing to consider. Psalm 147, to that point, he heals the brokenhearted. There's the other aspect of this that, all right, so let's take the physical out of it. He certainly heals the physical. We understand that. But there's also this emotional perspective, this other side, of what he heals as well. Again, just from the physical side of things, not the spiritual yet. We'll get to that in a second. But this idea from just healing the brokenhearted, the 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, he's the God of all comfort, the understanding of what he is able to do and his power. And again, I cannot say it enough. I cannot imagine. You talk about the widow walking down, not only in distraught because she's lost her husband, because now she's lost her son. The magnitude of that for a woman in the first century would have been devastating. It's like reading the book of Ruth and what was going to happen to what Naomi thought. This is just call me bitterness. I mean, it was just going to be a devastating circumstances. And God, Jesus sees her and has great compassion on her. We understand the rest of it, that he goes up and again, he touches the dead body. You don't do that either. But this is Jesus. He can do what he wants. And just say, the whole story is just so awesome. But the change for that woman, not only from a physical perspective that her son is back, but the emotional change that she was about to have, this rejoicing what's going to happen for her future. Now, I'm going to tell you, the interesting thing is she may lose her son again before she dies. But the reality is God had compassion on her at that moment from a, again, physical, emotional perspective. We'll obviously get into the spiritual as you can see what the next verse is. But it's just so unbelievably important, I think, for us to understand the magnitude of what he does. When he heals us spiritually, Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, this idea of having us, having our sins on him, the affliction, the whole way that it is written in Ephesians, or in Isaiah 53, rather, is just truly amazing to consider. This, by the way, Matthew the 8th chapter is quoted. Isaiah 53 verse 4 is quoted in Matthew the 8th chapter. So this idea that Jesus was going around healing people's diseases, he was doing all these different things in Matthew the 8th chapter, it goes back to Isaiah 53. So in Isaiah 53, surely our griefs he himself bore and our sins he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, but he was pierced through for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, and the chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourgings we are healed. And I'm just reading a very small snippet of it. But you understand very clearly, the greatest benefit that we have from the Lord being the healer is Isaiah 53. is the purpose that he can absolutely and still absolutely heals us spiritually. And the understanding of that and the impact that that needs to have. When he came, he bore our sickness, right? No question for them. For some of them, that was a very physical thing. He absolutely did that. But it's also, as we've been talking about, far more important for us to understand he does that spiritually. He took care of this sickness, this leprosy that we have, that we're able to take. Isaiah, the first chapter, by the way, I may preach on this next week. I haven't decided. But this idea of it talks about you are covered with wounds, and you, I mean, there's nowhere else for you to even have wounds, he talks about, really. This idea, and it wasn't physical, it was this spirit. You are absolutely covered. You need to be healed. You need to come back to me. And you are not willing to do so. And so it's the same thing from a spiritual perspective for us. Dwayne? It's what he tells Apostle Paul when he's trying to get rid of the thorn in the flesh. My grace is sufficient for you. Right? It's just this whole perspective of, and the reality for this, and we, in Exodus, the 15th chapter, we talked about the idea of if, and that's where this comes in. He's willing and able to heal, but there is the if part. In 2 Chronicles, the 36th chapter, verse 16, I just love this verse for the way it's written. I didn't look this up in some of the other translations, but in the New American Standard, he goes through this idea of what they were going through. I'm just going to pick up in the middle here. They were not, obviously, you'll understand that they were not doing what was right. And in verse 16 it says, "But they continually mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against them, until there was no remedy." There was no remedy for what they were suffering from. Because they had decided they were not going to listen to God. John, the 5th chapter, in verse 40, Jesus says the same thing. You have these witnesses, but you are not willing to listen. You are not listening to me. You've walked away. You're not willing to have the remedy. There's a remedy for all of these spiritual issues that we're talking about. Is that if, in Exodus, the 15th chapter, if you continue to be with him, if you continue to keep his commands, there is no remedy, though, if you leave him. And that's what happens in 2 Chronicles. The book ends with this, of what happens to them. And the understanding ultimately as they go off into Babylon. There was no remedy for these people at this particular moment. And so God allows them to go. And so the understanding of if you turn down the actual healer, there is no healing anywhere else. You're not going anywhere else to get healed if you leave the healer. In this case, we're talking about the Almighty God. So any other thoughts on this part before we continue? Tyler? Awesome. I mean, when you turn over to Luke, the 4th chapter, I mean, we might as well get into Jesus. You all want to get there anyway, evidently. Jesus is Jehovah Rapha. He is the one, for all intents and purposes, as we talk about this, is the one that gives the healing. Obviously, we're talking bigger picture of God and the understanding of that, but the understanding of Jesus while he was here. Luke, the 4th chapter, is the absolute mic drop of Jesus' beginning of his ministry. I love this story. I love that he goes into the temple, he opens the Bible, and he turns to Isaiah. And he begins to read in verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed upon him. I love that. Love it. That's why I'm here, he says. So he gets up and he reads this great prophecy that only he is going to be able to fulfill. He is the only one. Jehovah Rapha is here. He's here. He is the one that is going to be healing the blind, as it talks about, setting those who are downtrodden free. This whole piece now, as we've talked about many times and as we go forward, the understanding from a spiritual perspective what this is talking about. Okay? So now we are going to start getting into the spiritual side of things. It is interesting when he does the miracles. What does the miracles prove? What did the power prove for him? He's from God. See, there's one of the things that happens, I think, for us is that we are naive to think he's the only one that came to and said that he fulfilled the prophecies. He is not the only one that came and said he was the Messiah at all. There were people that followed other people that said that they were the Christ. I am the fulfillment of these verses. We know that from secular history. There were people that followed. The book of Acts, actually, we'll get into a little bit of that. There were people that followed them, but if you cut off the head, they stopped. The difference between Jesus and those others is, first of all, he fulfilled all of them. So there's a lot of different perspectives and reasons for that. But the reality is, and the biggest thing that he was able to do, is this. He was able to do miracles that other people just would have dreamt of. And it's not even enough. These people, I love when they're in the boat and he's asleep. Right? This whole story of things that are going on, and he calms the sea. And these people that have seen him do other miracles, what do they say when they see him calm the sea? Who is this? Who is this? So not only can he heal people, the sea listens to him. And then they go further, and all of a sudden Lazarus isn't smelling anymore. He's up. He's alive. Who is this? It's an amazing thing to consider that he is here. Jehovah is here. The Word became flesh. And the understanding of who he was and what his miracles proved. And these miracles, by the way, were not like, I have a headache and it will not go away. These miracles were, as we've all seen, people whose legs would not work and had never worked. And they knew that. And what they look like, we all know what that looks like. And the guy jumps up off the ground, jumps up and dances and then clings to Peter in that situation. But there are other times where they're just jumping up and down. They were blind. Everybody knew they were blind. And now they can see. It's just an amazing thing to consider what Jesus did and how he did it. And yet people, even to the story that Tyler brought up, Pool of Bethesda. What did the Pharisees focus on in that story? Yeah, it's Saturday. You can't be carrying your pallet on a Saturday. It's amazing how spiritually blind people can be. We can be. We need to be extremely careful of that. Sean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's 8 million reasons why he was different than the others, but no question, he had authority. There's all sorts of things that he did that was vastly different than anybody else, no doubt about that. Brian?
Thank you.
No, I mean, it's an excellent point. The whole Bible piece, and we've talked about this so often, from a man wisdom is, would I crucify the Son of God in the manner that in which he was killed? Would I persecute the church so it would spread the gospel around the world? You know, there's so many interesting pieces that God uses in his perfect wisdom and what's going to ultimately happen, that if we were writing, if we had the opportunity to come up with this, is not the way that perhaps we would do it, which is irrelevant, obviously. But to Brian's point, if we focus on the wrong piece, we miss the point of the big picture and the importance of this part as we're studying the great healer. Sonny? Yeah, that's, well, we'll get into that in just a second. I mean, that is the absolute power that we have to understand ourselves today. When we talk about this piece of it, and the significance and how deep it is of what occurs when we become his child, and the understanding of that. Yeah. No, that's a great example. I'll probably steal that. But it's interesting from the idea that when you read scriptures, you turn to Matthew, the 4th chapter, verse 23, says, when Jesus was going about in all of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of diseases and every kind of sickness among the people. Just that one verse, right? And you think about, as you mature as a Christian, that just that one verse, and I'm just picking one out of, you can pick any of them, how deep that verse gets as you mature. It comes from being a ring pop conversation to, oh, I want to eat. Oh, I want a house. Oh, I just want to make sure that God, or in this case, my dad, is taking care of me, right? And the understanding of how the impact of that continues to grow. When I think about Jesus healing people, we'll look at it when we were younger on the surface of physically and understanding that, wow, that's amazing. And then you get deeper. And then you get deeper. And then you start thinking about us. Why did you obey the gospel? I didn't want to go to hell. That's a great reason. That's not the reason now. I still don't want to go to hell. I still may want to ring pop. But the reality is there's deeper growth and there's deeper meanings and different deeper things that occur when we do this, including this healing thing. I've said this many times. If sin looked like on our bodies, like boils or leprosy, we wouldn't have time for this class. there would be people here trying to get clean. There is, if we could see that, the difficulty sometimes for us is I'm not 100% sure us spiritual people see that as we should. That we see people in the world as they are. That we see ourselves, oh, it's not a big deal. I'll just go back and do a little sinning. You just got leprosy again, is what happened. The understanding of that significance, the physical perspective, just that piece needs to be understood. Then obviously everything else, the deeper that you get in the understanding of what he was able to do, they were just lining up, this multitude of people just wanted to be healed, and he was willing to do it. As you go forward, though, in John's account, the idea that not only was he willing and desiring to help them physically, he wanted it absolutely to help them spiritually. Though when he starts going down the spiritual road, that's when they decide to leave. Everybody wanted to be healed physically. Nobody, not one person I can think of in the scriptures said no, except for maybe Naaman didn't want to go in the water. He still wanted to be healed. So it's the understanding of that piece. But not everybody wanted to be his disciple. Not everybody wanted to be healed spiritually. And that sometimes can be the difficulty. Tyler? It's interesting if you go down that road, the idea that there are people that God is 100% able to heal today that are not willing to allow him to do it. At least the bitterness, you know, at least a lot of different things that if we would just give it to him and the understanding that he would heal us, he would take care of those things. But sometimes we're just not willing to allow that to occur. It is worth, though, as we come to the end of the class, I guess. Why did he come? He didn't come simply to heal people physically. Okay? If that's the case, we missed out. We can read about it, but it would be just amazing to watch something of those things occur. Why did he come? So these two verses in Luke, the fifth chapter, in context, is just awesome because he's talking to the Pharisees and they have zero idea what he just said to them. But later on, maybe some of them will be like, oh, he was talking about us. But what does he say? Yeah. Yeah. It's not those who are well who are need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And this is the midst of them getting Matthew, or him getting Matthew. Oh, if they knew who he was. They would never associate with these people, all these different things. And it's this idea that he says in verse 31 and 32 that they needed to understand they're the ones that also needed the physician. They just didn't catch that part. Later on in John 9, chapters we alluded to earlier, is the idea of them saying, are you saying we're blind? Yeah. Yes. That's what I'm saying. Or the end of Acts, when he's talking from a bigger perspective of the Jewish nation, and they were blind. But it's the same thing for us. We can be blind to it. And it's the understanding of, it seems so obvious. Obviously, Pharisees, he's talking about you. Obviously, you need a physician. But it's the reality for us to understand how we make application. He specifically came to heal. He came to in order to help those that are sick. From our perspective, the understanding is to make application from the spiritual side. He came to help the spiritually sick, the ones that are absolutely struggling. He's dealing with Matthew. This isn't a physical issue. It's because he was a tax gatherer that he's talking about this. They needed healed. You and I needed to be healed. That's why he came. His whole purpose, the big picture. Now, the question is, how are we healed? How does that occur? What did the physician have to do? I've been to the doctor many times. This has never happened. Yeah. By his wounds we are healed. All right? It's the understanding that the doctor took on the sickness of me. He didn't give me some pill to get rid of it. He took my sickness. He took the sin. He was willing to pay the debt for that. By his wounds, I have been healed. That is awesome. And the understanding of that peace for us is something that we have got to understand. You have got to make that real. He was willing, the great doctor, the great physician, was willing to be beaten, as he's talking about here, these wounds, so that you and I can be healed. And then it goes on and calls him the shepherd and the guardian in these verses, in verse 25. This idea of who he is, and he's so powerful, so awesome, but yet still willing to be the great sacrifice, to be the great balm of Gilead. He was willing to do all those things in order to be the great healer for us, if, and it still always comes back down to if. Now, does God always heal? Very good. This is a trick question. One of you won. Spiritually, he always heals if you're willing. If. He's always willing to heal. Okay? Well, that was pretty nice. Yeah. I'm going to steal that too, probably. All right? Yeah. Spiritually, he absolutely wants to heal everyone. All men. He wants all men everywhere to be saved. There's zero question about that. Okay? This goes back to Dwayne's point, though. There are times where we're willing to put him in a box when it comes to a physical perspective of things. If you don't think that God heals people physically, don't pray for the sick in that way. Please heal the sick. I don't believe that you do that, but I'm told to pray for that, so I will. That doesn't seem correct in my mind. That doesn't mean he's going to answer it. It doesn't mean it's according to his will. No, that's a whole other conversation that I'm bringing up with 30 seconds left in the class. But it's the idea from our perspective of who he is and his power. Now, the difference between healing and miracles and all those conversations, again, with 30 seconds left, whole other conversation. But it's understanding who he is, his awesome power. Do not limit him, as the great Scott Lyon talked about on Wednesday night, about don't put him in a box. That was for you, Brian. What's easier to say? He's amazing. But that's an important, this is an important piece, understanding that the great healer still works today. Okay, he wants all men to be saved. The reality for you and I sometimes is to understand that we are surrounded by people that are sick, and we need to help them. You know the doctor, you know the physician that can help them. Make sure you're telling them. Thank you.